And we call your attention to the 45th chapter of the book of Genesis. Out of the 45th chapter of Genesis, I'll pick up at verse 5 and read through verse 8, and supporting scripture coming from Romans 8 and 28. The Bible reads in the 45th chapter of the book of Genesis, beginning at verse 5. Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years have the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a prosperity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he have made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Amen. Supporting scripture coming from Paul's writing to the Romans 8 and 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. The base of those verses, we'd like to use a thought, a subject this morning. God always knows who can handle being hurt. God always knows who can handle being hurt. I don't know about you this morning, but I'm excited about Jesus. We've been going since Thursday and celebrating the MLK festivities, and MLK is dead and gone, but Jesus is yet still alive. So anybody want to just help me celebrate Jesus? Hallelujah, hallelujah. He is the one. Never dies, always right there by our side. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He is a way maker. He's a friend. He's a deliverer. And I used to hear folks say he's anything that you need him to be. There are folk that have become believers now that know that when we heard the old saints say he's a mother for the motherless, a father for the fatherless, how many of you know that he will be just that? Hallelujah, Jesus. God is an all-knowing God, and it's only by his grace and by his mercy that we've been allowed another opportunity to come to just praise God, to worship him in spirit and in truth, because he is so wonderful. He is a mighty God, and he does things for us despite ourselves. You know, all of us know, and we hear it, and we say it over and over again, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there are times when we make that statement, and it's just mere words, but it's still the truth. We all have sinned. We've all fallen short somewhere in our lives, and it doesn't matter if you're able to get up and testify today that I'm saved and sanctified and full of the Holy Ghost, you still had some time in your life where you fell short of the glory of God. If you're saved and sanctified, that's just an added blessing to know that God is still a merciful, loving, and most of all, forgiving God. If God had not forgiven us of the things that we'd done wrong, if God hadn't loved us enough to send Jesus in our stead, where would we be this morning? See, there are too many of us that think that we are where we are because of what we've done, but we got to understand that we're only here by the grace of a mighty God. Again, another week has passed us by, and in that week we've had some good days and we had some bad days, but I come to tell you, no matter what your yesterday was like, we have been given another day. For the Bible declared that this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
And then there's some critic that might say, I don't have anything to be glad about. I don't have a job. I don't have money in my pocket. I don't have an automobile. I don't have this. I don't have that. But most of the things that you would list off that you don't have are materialistic things. If you would start to weigh out if you got everything that you need, if the blood's still running warm in your veins, woke you up this morning and you were still on this side of the grave, you got a reasonable portion of health and strength. Because I want to let you know that you might be going through some things in your body, but there's somebody that's in a worse condition than what you are in. There's somebody that doesn't even realize that their body is even in pain. They're just laying there. But if you are conscious of the fact that you are going through a situation, all you got to do is trust God and continue to go through. Know that the Lord God will make a way, that because he is a way maker. And I come to let you know, no matter how heavy the load may get, you got to learn how what the Bible say, lay aside every weight. There's some things weighing us down. Some of us got so much pride, we can't even feel Jesus. You hear me? You ought to want to feel Jesus. You want to feel the presence of God's Spirit. And I'm not saying that you have to shout like nobody else shout. You don't have to scream and holler like nobody holler. But you ought to feel something down on the inside that sort of tunes you into the fact that I am a child of the Almighty King. You ought to be in a position in your life this morning where you can say, the Lord is my shepherd. And say it with conviction. If you cannot say it with conviction, you got some doubt somewhere. And if there's any doubt in your mind as to God being your shepherd, you need to get rid of that doubt. You need to get your mind straightened out and realize that it's the Lord our God that's going to make a way out of no way. We need to understand that when our trials come, that's when the enemies just sort of jab you one thing after another. You ever seen how it is that when you're going through a situation and before you get out of that situation, you're already dealing with another situation? And then sometimes the enemy looks and he realizes that now that I got you knocked down, I'm going to just step on you and turn my foot and make everything nasty. But how many of you know that even though you get knocked down, you ought to have sense enough how to get back up? Bible says you can look to the hills from which cometh your help. Then the Bible declares you have not because you ask not. If you're down there, you ought to ask somebody, help me get up. Don't be too proud to ask for a little bit of help. See, what you got to understand is that whoever it is that helped you, that is a vessel being used by God. So it's still God that is the one that's doing the work for you. God has a way of putting certain people in certain places so that you can get the things that you need. Because he's just that kind of a God. I heard somebody say, don't can't nobody do you like Jesus. You can't do yourself like Jesus. Anybody in here don't care anything about themselves? Most of us have the mindset that I'm all that. You don't think nothing of yourself. You're a bad situation. Don't let nobody tell you who you are, what you are. I might be ugly to you, but I look good to somebody. Don't never let nobody tell you don't nobody care about you, because as long as God cares, God going to send somebody else in your place to let you know that I care about you. I got somebody that's got your back. I got your back. When you get down and out, I'll pick you up from the dust of the ground. I'll take you in my loving arms and I'll hold you and I'll rock you in the middle of the night. And I won't let nobody hurt you as long as you stay in my hands. Nobody going to be able to pluck you out. I serve a God that promised me never to leave me. Never would he forsake me. And I want to encourage somebody to hold on and to hold out. Somebody in here about ready to give up. Somebody done said, I'm tired of going through. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of that. But don't get tired. Just get ready to get blessed by God. Anybody know your deliverance is going to come? Anybody waiting on that delivering day? Well, I can't tell you the day or the hour, but I do believe that it's coming.
Yes, woo, woo. Glory, glory, glory.
Somebody said, I'm tired of being tired. But let us pause and look at our situation. The stress and the anguish, the uneasiness and the tension, the days and the months of the same old, same old. Anybody get tired of the same old, same old? Well, if you're tired of the same old, same old, you got to have a mindset to move and elevate and do better. One thing is, you look at your situation. Stop looking at the worst of it. When you look at your situation, can you see God in your situation? You got to learn how to see God in it. Sometimes, even though there may be suffering, there may be pain, but there can still be some God in your situation. Because sometimes you got to go through some bad things to get to your blessing. If you've never been sick or hurting in your body, you don't know what it is to feel like I'm healed. But if you've ever been down and out, if the doctor ever shook his head over you and you got up and walked away from that bedside and said, I know my Redeemer living. Anybody in here willing to make the devil out of a liar? One thing we got to understand is that many times we take things just a little too personal. And we fail to see God at work on our behalf. Because the problem is, we began to feel sort of sorry for ourselves. Then we feel like somebody owes us something. And if you're not close enough to God, you even question God and say, Lord, why me? I'm going to tell you why you in a minute. This preaching stuff is something. Today, we got too many folk to come in here to be cute. I done saw you before. Care how cute you get, you're not going to distract the praise. Let me preach. What I want to do is try to pick up where I left off last week on the life of Joseph. Joseph was sold by his brothers into slavery. Joseph was a man that was given the gift of interpreting dreams. Joseph was highly favored by God and loved by his father. He was the one that learned, that we learned last week, that was elevated from the prison to the palace. And now here in our text, he still sits second in command over the land. This is the highest rank attainable for one that is not of the royal bloodline. He is a man in our text that comes some 9 years later. 9 years ago, he got elevated from the prison to the palace. Now, 9 years later, here he is standing there in that same position doing what the Lord would have him to do. There are 2 years into the 7 years of famine. The 7 years of fruitfulness and time of plenty has already gone. So now, when we get to this particular part of Joseph's life story, we find that 2 years has already gone by. But one thing we have to understand, that in order for anybody to buy grain or food, especially every foreigner, they had to come before and go through Joseph. Lo and behold, one day the very ones that had turned their backs on him, the very ones that betrayed him, the very ones that sold him into slavery, his very own brothers, had to come back in 20 years later to fulfill the dream that Joseph had as a child. You remember the story. Joseph told them about the dream that one day every one of you gonna bow down to me. And the brothers got so mad that they plotted to kill him. But instead of killing him, they sold him into slavery in Egypt. So now we got to understand that sometimes the things that happen in our life, even though we can't see God in it right then, don't count God out. There are some things that God allows to happen in your life so it'll make you a better person. That will make you get closer to God. That will make you begin to pray and believe in the power of prayer. It's been said that what the devil plans for evil, God has the ability to turn it around for our good. Now, Isaiah says in 54 and 17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, said the Lord. So even though the enemy may be plotting to do some things against you, if you are a believer in the power and the word of God, then you ought to take this particular word and say that no weapon formed against me will be able to prosper. Because what God has for me, it is going to be for me. Now, I may not know exactly how I'm going to attain all the things that God has for me, but what I got to understand that somewhere along the line, it's already in the plans of Almighty God. You see, there are some things that you got to understand that there's a purpose for every one of our lives. And when God looks at the purpose why you were created and what he wants you to do, he began to put things in plan. Now, we as a people, because we are so intelligent, we think, we began to think that I know a better way of doing this thing. But I heard somebody say God's way is the best way. You see, anytime you begin to take control of your own life and not let God have full control of your life, you are living in jeopardy of dying and going to hell. But when you allow God to lead and direct your paths, there are times where you will say, no, Lord, I don't want to do that. I'm going to do it this way. And then you find the way that you do it, you run into some stumbling blocks. The way that you do it, trouble is on every hand. The way that you do it, it costs you more and more and more that way than just doing it the way God said do it in the first place. Some of us procrastinate and always putting things on the back burner. Are we ever going to stop sitting back waiting on somebody else to do what you can do for yourself? If you need a closer walk with God, all you got to do is open that mouth that he gave you and ask the Lord for a better understanding of the word so that he will lead and direct your path. As believers, we got to trust and believe that we got to stand firm on the fact that nothing the enemy sends our way will be able to overtake us, whether it's human or satanic. Some of us. Folk can say, I'll put this on you and this gonna happen. Well, you put your mess out there if you want to, but I'm a believer in the power of God. Every root you pull up, God made it. And God not gonna let your root hurt me. If you are a believer, when you get your mind all wishy-washy and the devil start feeding you this, that, and the other, you might believe anything. But you stand on the promise of God. You tell the devil you're nothing but a lie this morning. I'm talking to somebody in here this morning. We got to trust God. We got to know that because of the blood of Jesus, the devil is a lie. Every time the enemy dig a ditch for you, he digging two for himself. While you're waiting around for me to fall over in that ditch you done dug, I'm going to jump over that ditch and look back and see you laying in your ditch. So now that you're laying in the ditch, what am I supposed to do? Well, let me tell you something. You're not going to like it. But I got to go right back. Say, you scoundrel, you come on up out that ditch. God always knows who can handle hurt. Because some folk can't handle hurt. When they get hurt, their thought in their mindset is, I'm going to get you. Vengeance comes. Being vindictive and hateful and backstabbing. But if you're a believer and you experience hurt, I don't care what goes on in your mind. When God starts talking to your heart, whereas you might have smacked them upside the head, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Instead of knocking her out, I'm going to pray for the sister that God will bless her and bring her up out of the mess. Don't forget where you come from. We know God to be an all-knowing God. There's nothing hidden from him. God is everywhere at all times. God knows our goings and our comings. He created us and gave us life, and God has been blessing us ever since. Every one of us are uniquely made, and that is a reason and a purpose for all things that we encounter in life. Sometimes we have to go through a lot of unseen pain and anguish, and many times not knowing that it's really going to be for our good. Sometimes we make our own decisions and we find that the decision backfires on us. Anybody ever found themselves crying and worrying and concerned about how I'm going to make it? Then guilt steps in and you begin to feel like I'm not going to be able to do what the Lord wants me to do. But I found in the word of God where Paul said, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. See, the key is you got to know how to love God. You got to know that in this life, there's not going to be no systematic deliverance sometimes. But you got to learn how to wait on God. The Bible says, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So when God has a purpose for your life, it does not mean that every day is going to be a sunny day. It does not mean that you yourself are going to do everything just right. You're not going to dot every I, cross every T along the way. But if you just open up and allow God to use you. See, we got to learn how to be confident that nothing can hurt God's people so deeply that God cannot turn it around for your good. Even in sickness and in death, as bad as it hurt down on the inside, you just give God a little bit of time. And as the time began to pass on, you will find that he still worked it out for your good. We can't see that when our loved ones are in pain. We can't see that when we have a darkness about us and we just can't see our way out. But I've been inclined to believe that the Bible is true to his word. That when trouble comes, I've already been hidden. Because God had put a wall of pavilion around us to protect us from the snares of the devil. Whatever his purpose is, no matter how long it takes, When it's of God, everything is going to fall into place. You just got to know how to wait on God. We got to continue to love God in attitude, in action, and see God to see what kind of heart that you got. See, there are some of us, we handle our situation with our mouth and our mind. But if we learn to let God have his way. Certain kinds of people do things in a different way. But I found that no matter how mad you get, how bad you feel, or what goes on through your mind, you got to allow your heart to take control. I believe this morning that there comes a time that you're not going to understand everything you go through. But all you got to do is trust the power of God. I thank God for Joseph this morning, for the life that he lived, for the type of person that he was. Now, if you just walk with me just for a moment, you know, as we talk about Joseph, Joseph is now there in the palace. Joseph is doing a great work for the king. Joseph realized that he was the governor over the land. It was sold to all the people of the land. Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. Joseph saw his brethren and he knew them and made himself strange unto them. And he spake roughly unto them and he said unto them, "Whence come ye?" They said, "From the land of Canaan to buy food." Joseph knew his brethren, but the brothers didn't know him. You think about it, 20 years done passed. 20 years and no word from my brother. 20 years and all I know is I wonder how did they live with themselves. For 20 long years knowing that the father was hurting. Knowing that they destroyed his heart and making him believe that his beloved son had been killed. But nonetheless, they went on about their daily living for 20 long years. Now, after these 20 years, as I just said, when they came before Joseph, they forgot all about that little boy that they threw in the pit. They forgot all about the fact that they left him all by himself and sold him to be a slave. And now, 20 years later, here they are standing before this man. This man that they stand before is in high authority. This man is dressed like an Egyptian. This man has all power and they got to humble themselves before him. Well, now when they come in and they see Joseph, they bow themselves down before him. The Bible says, Joseph remembered the dreams which he had dreamed of them. It said unto them, "Are ye spies? See the nakedness of the land ye are come." They said unto him, "Nay, my lord, but we just come to buy a little food." He said unto them, "Nay, but I believe that you are spies. Thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. Behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not." Who is that one? Well, Joseph said unto them, "That is it that I spake unto you, saying, ye are spies." In other words, the one that you don't know where he is. I'm the one talking to you. "Hereby ye shall be proved by the life of Pharaoh. Ye shall not go forth hence, except your youngest brother come hither." Joseph realized, you know, here's 10 of my brothers. And these are the 10 that sold me into slavery. Hallelujah, Jesus. What we got to understand is that if you got a heart of God, you won't handle things like people handle them in the street. You won't handle them like somebody that don't know God. But you will handle things in a different manner. But now being in this authority figure role, here is Joseph realizing that now I got the power. He could have had every one of them slain right there on the spot. But when he looked at them, they didn't know who he was, but he knew who they were. Getting to talk to him. Ask the man. The thing that really shocked them, I believe, was the mere fact that he knew everything about their business. He knew that they had a younger brother that was at home. So what he said is, I'm going to see where your mind and your heart is now. 20 years ago, you did me wrong. But I'm going to see where you are right now. Joseph made a little trick. He gave them all the food that they needed to buy. But he put the money back in the bags. Well, when they got back and realized that the money is in the bag, they were afraid that somebody was going to think they'd have stole this food. They were afraid that Joseph was going to send somebody and to destroy them. And then Joseph told them, when you go back, don't come back in my face again. Unless you bring your little brother. When you got the upper hand, you can make some demands. But be careful of the demands you make, because you're going to have to answer after a while for what you do. So now here he is. They go back and they began to talk to Daddy Jacob. As they're talking to him, they say, well, the man that was in charge, he told us to come and to bring Benjamin. Kept Simon and put him in jail. Told us that he going to keep him. And if he don't see the young boy, that he going to kill him. Well, Jacob, thinking about this man, I said, now look, I lost my favorite son, Joseph. There you is, got one of them, then I left him over in the Egypt land in prison. Now you're telling me you want my only baby boy? By my last wife, I can't have no more babies? Kind of mess is this? Now you want the everything that's close to my heart. I tell you, if I lose Benjamin, I'll be sorrowful all the way to the grave. The Bible says, Judah spoke up. Dad, I need to talk to you for a minute. I need to let you know something. That this man that we're talking about, he says that he's our brother. This man that we're talking about, he said that if we bring Benjamin then, that he would give us, allow us to buy some more food. Well, after weighing the matter out, don't never say what you're not going to do. See, there was a day that Jacob was thinking, oh no, you're not taking Benjamin nowhere. But when hunger pains start hitting you, you look around and see that the cupboard's going to be bare. Nothing growing out in the ground. Jacob said, hold up. You better go on and take him back. I'm going to take my chances, because if you don't go and take this chance, we're going to die anyway. We don't have no food to eat. So I got to take a chance. I got to walk by faith. Anybody in here know how to walk by faith? Glory. So here Jacob is saying, go on and take Benjamin on. Well, now let me move on up. When they got there, he said, thou saidest unto thy servant, except your youngest brother come down with you, you will never see my face again. Came to pass that thy servant, my father, told him the words of my Lord. And our father said, go again and buy us a little more food. Now, therefore, when I come to thy servant, my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound in the lad's life, it shall come to pass when he seeth that the lad is not with me, that he will die. And thy servant shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant, our father, with sorrow to the grave. So let me reason with you a little bit, Joseph, because I want you to know that now we can't leave Benjamin with you. In other words, if you just let me stay, I'll be your slave. I'll work for you, but let my little brother go back, because that'll kill my daddy. That's love. That's a change of heart. That's a transition from 20 years ago when hate and selfishness was in Judah's heart. But now Judah realized that I can't look out for myself. I'm thinking about my daddy. So out of love and respect for my daddy, don't take my little brother, take me. Now I'm where I need to be. The Bible said Joseph could not refrain himself before all them. He cried. Joseph called every man to go out from him, and he stood there, just him and his brother. He wept aloud, and the Egyptians of the house of Pharaoh heard him weep. Anybody ever really had love for your siblings? Think about, here it is, this man hadn't seen his brothers in 20 years. And even though they did him wrong, he realized that they didn't have anything to do with what they were doing. They thought that they were doing evil, but all the time it was by the hand of a mighty God. Joseph said unto his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father alive? His brother could not answer him, for they were troubled. Now, this Joseph, we in trouble. But he said, now therefore, be not grieved, nor be angry within yourselves. Don't worry about the fact that you sold me, because God sent me here to preserve our lives. 2 years had the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 more years to go. But I have the ability to make sure that you eat when you get hungry. God sent me before you to preserve you and prosperity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. The deliverance came through Joseph. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God, he had made me a father to Pharaoh. God always knows who can handle the hurts. Out of 12 boys, Joseph was next to the youngest. You would think when God works that he'd take the eldest and give him the responsibility of such a heavy load. But he realized that the eldest don't have the kind of heart that he needs. So when he looked at these 12 boys, he realized that in the heart of Joseph, I see a heart that can handle hurt. I see a heart that if he'd been mistreated, he can turn the other cheek. He can say, I am my brother's keeper. Joseph made provision for the family. Brought him closer to him and said, bring my daddy, bring everybody that he has. And I'll assure you for these 5 years, when you get hungry, you're going to eat. Faust Chapel, I just want to let you know by the story of Joseph that God always knows who can handle the hurt. Your loved ones that are going through many different sicknesses, God always knows who can handle the hurt. Have you ever noticed how it seemingly the one that you thought was the weakest turns out to be the strongest? Because God knows exactly who it is that can handle the hurt. When you are going through life predictable changes, do know that God knows exactly what you are going through. God knows your pain. He knows your anguish. He knows exactly what you stand in need of. And God wants us to understand, just like in the life of Joseph, it took 20 years or more for his brethren to be delivered. But God had everything under control. God put Joseph in a bad situation to bring him to a good situation so that he would be able to deliver the people of God. And because of that deliverance, everything fell in line so that things would be ready for Jesus to come. You see, this history lesson is still about where we are today. Because had not Joseph had the kind of heart that he had. And that's why you hear people say God knows what he's doing. And when we say he never, ever makes a mistake, he picked the right one. He picked Joseph. And he tells Joseph, as he tells us, he will be there for us all the way to the end. When you look at the story of Joseph, you are looking at a man that's been betrayed, mistreated, and abandoned by his very own family. But then he was a believer. And he realized, even in the midst before his brothers came back, that it was all in God's plan. Some of the things that you're going through, do know that it's in God's plan. And God is going to bring you through. But what you got to do is be like Joseph. You got to learn how to wait on God. And you can't lose faith midstream. You just got to keep trusting. And you got to keep moving. You got to keep believing that the Lord does not make mistakes. God knows who can handle hurt. Sometimes you have to just let things go and let God be in control. And he'll do just what he said that he'll do. Are there any believers in the house this morning that knows that your hand is in the hand of a mighty God, and that he has a purpose and a plan for your life?